Welcome to Bar Fights with attorney and advocate Sarah Klein, taking on issues that matter and advocating for legal, cultural, and political change everywhere in order to protect children and vulnerable adults. Joining the conversation are survivors, advocates, lawyers, media personalities, athletes, celebrities, authors, wellness aficionados, and many more. Because bringing real justice takes a team of experts who care. Now, leading the fight is your host, Sarah Klein.
You guys, welcome back to this critical, critical show where Diane Tarantini, award-winning writer, mother, and body safety educator, is going to educate us as adults, as parents, as adults who love kids. What do we need to know? What can we do? And where do we start? Diane, welcome back to Bar Fights. You're incredible. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. Oh my gosh, this is my passion. I'm sure it's yours as well.
Oh my gosh. Yes, it is. Keeping kids safe, our passion. I'm just going to let you go. You are just the expert guru that all of us parents, adults who love kids, need to hear from. Where do we even start with this, Diane?
So last week we gave you my website address, DianeTarantini.com. You guys, mm-hmm. I'm all over the place. I'm on Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, my author page. And I just got on TikTok, and I do videos that focus on one issue that I feel is practical for a parent or a survivor. I love to talk to survivors, dear people. But you can get a lot of content that way. But one of my most popular, Instagram reels was this. What are the two mistakes that parents make when it comes to their child safety? And I learned this from Kimberly King, who's my collaboration partner, and a woman who's a forensic interviewer. So if a child has disclosed, she takes them in a room, and without leading the witness, she gets them to tell their story. And she says, here are the two mistakes parents are making. They believe creepy stuff like child sexual abuse will not happen to my child. Then they think if creepy child sexual abuse happens to my kid, they will 100% tell me. So let's break that down. Wow. 1 in 10 children in America will be sexually abused by the time they're 18. The number used to be worse. I don't know if it was like 2 or 3 in 10. So we've gotten better because we're talking about it. But you don't want your child to be the 1 in 10. So things that I advise parents to know is that when you look at the statistics on child sexual abuse in America, there's 42 million survivors walking around. So if you're a survivor, I'm sorry for the loss of the innocence that you experienced, but you're not alone. You're not alone. And parents, it's not this tiny little problem. It's a legit problem. Don't bury your heads in the sand. Please don't bury your heads in the sand. Of all the people that have been abused, maybe 30% actually tell somebody. It gets sadder. Oh my gosh, the statistic I learned 2 years ago. The average age at which a human will disclose that they experienced child sexual abuse is 52. They hold that secret inside of them for decades. Until maybe they feel really safe and secure with a friend or a partner, or maybe, and this happens, their abuser dies or moves overseas, which that can be a comfort, or across the country. Mm-hmm. So, but like, if you think your kid's going to tell you, chances are they're not, unless I'm not going to give you a problem without a solution. Mm-hmm. Unless you've laid that foundation of conversation and anatomical body parts. And I love you so much. You can tell me anything and it can't undo my love. My love for you is unconditional. Even if you did a bad thing, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. So, from the time a child has language, you're going to want to be talking anatomical body parts. My little 2-year-old granddaughter, she has a very cute version of vagina, but she's got the concept down. But you're like, as you're like putting on their lotion, you can say, this is your breast, and this is your buttocks, and this is your vulva, and this is your penis. Like, just we're more weirded out by them, by body parts than them. I mean, we used to joke with my son, we used to call Oscar Mayer Wiener. That's not okay. I did a reel where I talked about like my mentor Robert Peters and the forensic interviewer that I just mentioned. They both of them tell stories, and other people have come up to me and said it absolutely is a thing. When a child is disclosing abuse, they refer to their private parts as a cookie. My uncle ate my cookie.
I have
My
shared
brother
that
touched my
story.
cookie. The neighbor boy took a picture of my cookie. And I mean, by now I would think a lot of child safety professionals probably can figure that out. But you want your child to have as close to the real deal language as possible so they can talk to you and their physician, hopefully never law enforcement, but maybe. And it's also protective. If a predator like would have your kids' clothes off and your kids like, don't touch my vagina or my penis, if they see your child has language, in their mind they're thinking, oh, the child might know about body safety. This child may have been taught if something ever happens regarding your body parts, you tell me. For a safe adult. When we do grade school presentations, we talk about the bathing suit body rule. And I just put this up on Instagram. Whatever, like if you wear a bikini or a one piece, or some boys swim in gym trunks or swim trunks, everything that's covered there is off limits to anybody, but occasionally your parents when they're dressing or bathing you and your physician. So you definitely want to get the body parts down pat. And you
And I
want
would give a
to.
little caveat to that
Yes.
in terms of physicians, right?
Oh,
With mommy
gosh.
in the room, with mommy right there, with the doctor asking your permission, with
Yes.
right? Because I have lots of pediatrician cases, right? What we know about pedophiles is they look for the path of least
Oh,
resistance,
yeah. Oh, wow.
So little caveat. Keep going. This is,
Are
I'm
they
like,
offending with the parent in the room, or are they somehow saying, if you feel more safe if it was just you and me? Like, are they trying to get the parent out of the room?
Both,
Okay.
but a
Oh, my
lot of
goodness.
times it's under the guise of medically necessary treatment.
Yes.
And so it confuses the parent, it confuses the kid, and oh my gosh, I have to do this and this. And that is really my story. In the case of the
Yes.
Dr. Larry
Oh, my
Nassar,
gosh.
parents were there, parents
Absolutely.
were around. It made you think because he's the doctor and it's medical,
Yes.
but it's not the sexual abuse of a child, which it was,
Yeah, I tell people I don't want you to be like psycho vigilant,
But
but pay
peaceable
attention.
and
Attention. Don't blindly trust everyone. And
Yeah.
we're gonna
No, I get it. Yeah, keep going.
so I recently did a lecture on for a group called Sex Ed Lectures. They do them on YouTube, and the title of my talk was What Keeps a Body Safety Educator up at night. So a lot does, but currently there's I'm not going to hold up fingers. I don't have enough. Sextortion, are you aware of that?
No.
So this I'll just give you a super fast version. So a young like 9 to 19, 9 to 18, a young person receives a DM from a stranger. It's happening right now. It happens every second of the day. That is presenting as someone their age who is attractive. We know that texting conversations go from friendly to flirty to sexy enlightening, just so fast. And your child will be asked for, send me a sexy pic. Show me something. Send me a video of you doing something naughty. And because our darlings' brains aren't fully formed and functional till they're 25, and this cutie is saying, "You show me yours, I'll show you mine." And they have that lack of impulse control. Dude, they hit send. They snap a pic and they send it. And with sextortion, within moments, they're getting a blackmail threat. Send me money or more sexual content. Or I will take this one piece of content you gave me, and your parents will see it, and your grandparents will see it, and your school, and your church, and your community, the football team. And kids are being like asked for $5,000. So I tell my middle schoolers, this is why you don't send nudes. I know 40% of you are doing it, but don't, because I am over half a century old, and I don't know that I could figure out how to acquire and wire to the other side of the world where these threats seem to be originating, $5,000. So, oh, this is really sad. Sarah, like over 20 young people have completed suicide, some within 30 minutes of the threat arriving, because they're like, especially
Can't
boys. Boys
manage it.
don't always see this too shall pass. So it's usually boys that are, taking their own life because they can't bring shame on themselves, on their family, on their community, on their school by this sexy pic of them going all over the internet. It happened to one of my friends who is a physician. Thankfully, her son woke her up in the middle of the night and said, "Mom, I did a
Got a
bad thing
problem.
and I need your help." The sextortion scares, can I say crap? It scares the crap out of me. And then the other thing is, I was on a virtual conference for child safety, and the statistic that I'd known for 4 years was recalibrated. When I started doing body safety presentations, I would tell kids 40% of all child sexual abuse incidents are initiated by another child. It's called COCSA, child on child sexual abuse, or peer-to-peer sexual abuse. Sarah, I heard 3 times in an afternoon the number had been recalibrated to 70%. The creepy man in the basement, like being the predator. We got a paradigm shift here. So, because my abuse was COCSA, child on child sexual abuse, I was not having it. Because my first degree was journalism, I went down rabbit holes. So I initially thought child on child sexual abuse was spiking because of sexting. I thought kids are sexting each other and it's leading to other things. It's leading to sex or and abusive and rough sex. But when I did the research, what started out as one blog post ended up being three. So the first one is, why is your child looking at pornography? They're looking at it for sex education. The truth is, kids are going to find out what bodies do when they come together from parents, peers, or pornography. What do you want it to be? I'd want it to be me. Yes, extremely awkward conversations. Because stuff's going on now that I can't even comprehend. But there is a beautiful research document, takes some time to read, by Common Sense Media called Teens and Pornography. And I think it's 1,500 kids that agreed to talk to researchers. And they said, we're just trying to figure out what bodies look like and what they do when they come together. So I was like, That's actually, they're not super over like giant sex drive kids. They're just curious and they're not getting answers at school or from their parents. So I can understand that. So the second blog post was, what is your child learning on pornography? So statistics tell us 88% of pornographic videos, the really popular ones, are aggressive or violent in nature. Usually targeting a woman, but it also can be minorities. So your child is essentially learning that making love is rape, that a woman loves having her face smacked or being called a really horrible name. Your child is getting a really skewed idea. And not only that, I don't watch pornography, but the body types, it's like normal people aren't that thin and trim. They're not that well groomed. Their fingernails don't look like that. Their genitals don't look like that. They don't have sex for that long of a duration. Like they're getting all kinds of wrong information. So that's a super duper concern. And then the third thing was, and this is the doozy, this is where child-on-child sexual abuse is looking like it's stemming from. Kids are viewing and then doing. They want to try out what they're seeing. And they're off 50%. A woman told me, another professional told me 50% is with peers, not always consensual. And 50% is with little younger individuals. It can be a crime, it is a crime of just convenience. It's whoever is close by. So they literally in Kansas City, the ER doctors and nurses who are doing like rape kits and just tending to these little young people that are coming in, the victims are saying the person said they saw it in a porn video and they wanted to try it with me.
Oof.
I mean, there's kids under six that have been victims. There's kids that are having violent sex acts and filming it. So they're creating child sexual abuse material. So when I talked about being careful who you trust, I really would hesitate to let my kids even be with other kids when the situation is not supervised by an adult.
There you have it, period. I feel the same way. I feel
You're
the
going to
same
be mean parent, you are, but my
way. And
gosh,
people push back. And
you
I think,
can prevent the mess or you can clean it up.
yes. Oof. That is a good one. That is a good one. And I can't tell you how many parents I see that are doing two things that drive me crazy. Sexualizing their child too early, letting them go to sexy Taylor Swift concerts when they're five, right? Like, you don't need to know about that. You don't need to hear the song Lover. You know, I love Taylor Swift, but why are we doing that? Why are we taking our little girls to Taylor Swift movie concerts? I don't know. I don't get it, right? Putting your kid in, letting them listen to cool pop music with these sexy lyrics. No, thank you. The second thing I see a lot of is parents living through their child, meaning they wish that their kid is cool, so then they feel cool or whatever. I don't give a shit whether my kid is cool, whether I'm cool, whatever. I'm not doing that. But parents are almost more attached to their own place in the social hierarchy of parenthood that they're, oh, sure, you can go spend the night at Johnny's house. I love Johnny's
Oh,
parents.
goodness,
We
yes.
drink wine together. Oh, sure, you can go. It's just, Sally, go to the mall and stay until it closes. Like, no, I'm not doing that. I don't care whether the parents don't like me. I don't care whether the kids don't like you because you have a mean mom. I don't care. I'd rather, that be the case than the alternative, like you just said, right?
Like if you have kids over, I'm like, I would want everybody on one level of the house.
Yep.
And no closed doors are allowed unless you're peeing.
That's
That's just
it.
it.
That's it.
There was another component, and this is for parents of older kids, but the woman who did the sex ed lecture before I did, oh my goodness, she's like an expert on human sexuality. And
Yes.
so, oh my gosh, the title of her talk, Sarah, is The Rise of Rough Sex: What Parents Need to Know.
Oh,
So
gosh.
the things that she said kids are doing, and she just came out with a book. If you have show notes, I'll give you like a lot of resources. But her book is Yes, Your Kid. Her
Oof.
name is Debbie Herbenick. She had some statistic, and it was 7 years old that it was in the Atlantic. 15% of sexually active teen girls had been sexually choked. And they see that on pornography. And there, if you do the research, some people say that your orgasm can be heightened if your airflow is restricted. But that's not why people are doing it. Like, guys are choking, or I mean, it could be any partner. I don't mean to be sexist. A partner is choking another partner because they think it's expected, because it's so prevalent in the youth culture. It's usually people under 40 that are doing this. And then girls are allowing themselves to be choked because they don't want to say no to a boy or a
Yeah, or they want to
girl or
just,
a hot girl or a hot boy.
yeah.
And I said, Debbie, I don't think a school is ever going to allow me to broach that topic, but
Yeah.
if they would be really progressive and let me, what do you want me to tell the kids? She
Yeah.
said, tell them it's not choking. It's strangling someone. Choking
Yeah.
is when, like, you swallow something and it blocks your air, like your
Yeah.
food tube. This is like cutting off someone's air. It stops the airflow and the glucose flow to the brain. It can cause brain damage. She talked about one young guy that she interviewed who had a what his partner, his female partner, I think, asked to be sexually choked. And then she blacked out for 3 minutes and he literally thought he killed her. And so now he has trauma. So I think what, a lot of us are talking in the child safety space. The best thing you can do is have hard, deep, no question is a dumb question or an unacceptable question conversations with your child daily. Because conversation builds relational intimacy and closeness. Like when your kid is texting someone they have a crush on, they're building intimacy. But we can do that with our own kids when we're driving them places. The cool thing Debbie says, I'm reading her book now, like if you're driving and your kid's in the back seat, you can say, I listened to this podcast today and they talked about sexual choking. Have you ever heard of this? Because it kind of blew my mind. And your child isn't face to face with you. So it's an easier conversation to have. Or you can let your child on purpose overhear you having a conversation with a friend on a phone. Like, I just heard about sextortion. Has this happened to anybody you know? And then the kid might say, oh my gosh, they told us about that in school today. So you kind of have to be a little crafty to figure out how to have, but literally, I would say to my kid, if my kids were young now, I want you to ask me any question about any topic, and if I don't, I will tell you the truth, or and if I don't know, I'll get the answer for you. And because I know the dangers of pornography, it can be, you know, some people believe it can be addictive in nature. It can lead to child-on-child sexual abuse. Like, if you have questions, ask me. Don't go
Yeah.
there.
And I
That's
think
not what
so.
real people do.
It's not. And I think so often too, like you had already mentioned earlier, parents have this idea that they have that their kid is going to just tell them anything, right? Like, we're so close. Johnny's going to tell me everything. And you're like, wait, you have to work at that. You have to bring the topics to the table. You do
Yes.
not put the responsibility on your child to be the one to bring it to you. You
Yeah.
put the responsibility on yourself to
Yep.
continually, day in and day out, be the one working on that trusting relationship, working on that intimacy with your child, bringing those hard conversations to the table, naming body parts for what they're
Yeah.
called, talking about the bathing suit rule, like depending on the age of your kid.
Yeah.
Love in the back of your book, The Brave Knight, how to keep yourself safe, making a list of five or more adults that you
Oh, yes.
You know, making a plan about what you do when something gets sketchy or scary, practicing the plan, right? So there's so much information about how to keep your child safe, how to bring them in and invite them in to these conversations, and to really make sure that when it's all said and done, you did your damnedest to keep that kid safe. You know, we can only do as much as we can do, but we can die trying. And that's the thing that I want parents listening today to hear, to know. We have only begun to scratch the surface of this conversation with Diane Tarantini. This is ongoing, and we need to have you back and continue this, because this is the most important information I think we'll ever share on this show. Your website is incredible. There's so much there, you guys. The blog is incredible. You can even schedule a one-on-one coaching session with Diane and bring your questions and your concerns to the table, and she can guide you through it, which I think is invaluable. Talk to your schools, ask those questions. What are your children getting? And really be able to answer that question. And, you know, I personally can't even answer that, and that's a damn shame. So I'm going to rectify that this week. But Diane, you're incredible. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We're going to link to you. We're going to continue the conversation with you. And I really believe your website is so full of resources. It's one of the best resources I have seen.
Thank you.
Children safe. And I really, really mean that. So you guys, DianeTarantini.com. The book is The Brave Knight, and we will continue talking to Diane down the road here at Bar Fights. Diane, thank you for what you're doing. And
oh my goodness. Thank you for doing what you're doing. Oh my goodness. I'm in awe of you. I think you're amazing. We all have to do the work that we can, you know, use our skill set. I say, this is how I make lemonade out of the bitter lemons of my childhood.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
Yeah. If you stay quiet, they win. Don't want that to happen.
So good. So good. Standing ovation for Diane Tarantini. You guys, we'll see you next week here on Bar Fights.
Thank you for listening to Bar Fights with attorney Sarah Klein, taking on issues that matter. Please check out our website at barfightspodcast.com, Instagram at barfightspodcast, or Twitter at barfights_pod for the latest show updates and archives.